What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Stu Peter Show. My name is John Miller, in for Stu. You might know me from the show on which I am a frequent guest, or you might know me from the internet, or you might not know me at all. Don't really know. Don't really care. You're stuck with me now. Stu has absconded to some radiant corner of the globe to regale millions with his red pills at some conference I wasn't invited to. And so we, the loyal leftovers, we, the beautiful remainder, are left here. So we're going to try to enjoy ourselves while Stu has the time of his life. But lest we waste any more time with introductions, you know, something curious occurred to me the other day. And it seems obvious, but it's actually perfectly instructive of what has happened to MAGA, which, as you know, is dying. And it is this: the only people left supporting Trump are the former never Trumpers. Does that make you pause? We know Trump's base is fleeing, but the remaining supporters are, interestingly, the people who most vocally opposed his presidency in the beginning, in 2015. I mean, think about the significance of that. And because, you know, if you're still, you know, choo-choo-choo on the Trump train, and you wear all the gear from the hat down to those god-awful, they were always ugly, those Trump sneakers, it might be worth pausing, if only for a brief moment, to understand that you might be Jewish. You might be gay, and you might be Jewish with AIDS. And that's why your brain hasn't been able to see that you have aligned yourself with the establishment that our entire movement was created to destroy. Trump is losing all of his loyalists, and for good reason. I mean, he's losing Benny Johnson. I mean, Benny Johnson, who up until now, I mean, he had to have been sore from all the tricks he was doing on Trump's back. You know, Benny Johnson goes out, and it's like, Bernie, you need to wipe your mouth, buddy. I mean, this is just crass. I mean, Jack Posobiec is all over Trump's, at least his flavor of the month, Mark Levin. So yeah, it's by proxy, but it's very clear what he's doing. And, you know, they'll probably be back on Trump's tomorrow. But the fact remains, in this moment, the only big names shilling Trump coin are all the former never Trumpers. Isn't that a bit of a red flag? You know, you hear now all about this split in MAGA, and they talk about it like it's never happened before. MAGA has never been divided, but that's not true. We have seen this split. We have seen this marked bifurcation of the right. We saw it in 2015. We saw it with the establishment National Review types, the never Trumpers, versus the scrappy populist nationalist Trump supporters. The big difference is now it's opposite day. Now the former are now the latter. The never Trumpers are now the ever faithful. They're Trump's biggest supporters. And the latter, the former Trump supporters, are disillusioned with Trump. I mean, that's a pretty fascinating flip-flop. That's a pretty fascinating development, that the Trump shills, the Trump influencer class, would like you to just gloss over, not realize that they're standing shoulder to shoulder with National Review Trump never Trumpers. Trump shills like what's his face, the dysgenic gay freak with the helicopter pad for a forehead and the rotting row of snaggle teeth. What's his name? Captive Zoomer. Well, no, he's not a Zoomer. It's just like, is Captive Zoomer's his name? Captive Zoomer, he's not a Zoomer. He's got more than a receding hairline. He's got a whole landing pad for a forehead. He's got a whole terminal up there. And you can go shopping up there, and you can get Panda Express, and you can go and sit in the lounge on his forehead, and you can wait for him to come around with Trump pornography featuring this guy getting raped with a Fell For It Again award stick. So I don't know where he gets off calling himself Captive Zoomer, but alas, that's what he calls himself. The fact that people like him stand alone with the never Trumpers is something that influencers like him and influencers like John Goyle will tell you not to notice. It's not a big deal, they say. It is a big deal. And I want you to ask, if you find yourself still strongly in Trump's corner, just look about. Whom do you see? You will see never Trumper Mark Levin. You will see never Trumper Ben Shapiro. You will see never Trumper Dave Rubin. And never Trumper John Podhoretz. And big fat Highland cow, never Trumper Meghan McCain. And never Trumper Megyn Kelly and her big bag of bull. And never Trumper Laura Ingraham. Yeah, people forget. People forget because, you know, she got a new pair of lips and new hair extensions and is all MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. Now, people forget she wanted Scott Walker to win. And the entire Fox News network, for that matter. The Murdochs, never Trump. Now they're, you know, just a Trump shill network. You will see that you're standing with the never Trump LA Times, the never Trump Washington Post. You will see yourself in the company of Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos, and you have to ask, how did I end up on the same side of the aisle as these people? What do you have in common with any of these people, ideologically or morally? I'm going to stop you right there, because the answer is absolutely nothing. You might be fooled into thinking that you do, because they have put on MAGA hats and skin suited as Trump supporters for money and for power. But remember, never forget that these people are people who 10 years ago would have rather dined with the devil than even thought about voting for Trump. And they were never Trump because he represented American sovereignty with a national and racial identity. Trump's biggest supporter, Ben Shapiro, says that doesn't mean a damn thing to him. They opposed Trump because he wanted a ban on immigration. They laughed. They used to laugh at the wall. They thought it was the most ridiculous thing they've ever heard. They were never Trump because he wanted an end to the endless wars that make them so rich, and because he wanted an American labor market that competes with their multinationalist corporatist friends. They were never Trump because he wanted an end to globalism, because he was an outsider threatening to expose their elite, filthy, cheese pizza loving, baby raping Jewish elite. They were never Trump because their whole game would be exposed. And so they opposed a Trump presidency with all of their might to ensure that none of that ever got even close to happening. And what? They just had a change of heart. Suddenly, it wasn't such a big deal that their personal political interest, that their fortunes in the Middle East went dry and they were all exposed as child rapists. You honestly think that they just said, meh, who cares anymore? Or do you think that it is more likely that they rallied and got together their powers that be, their big Jewish money donors like the Adelsons and their Mossad blackmail machine and their PayPal mafia friends, their BlackRock friends, and Teal and the boys, and said, you better get this guy straight. You better get this guy on board with our agenda, or we're going to literally kill him. That's what happened, and they compromised him. I mean, is that a conspiracy? Because how else, curiously, all of these same Never Trumpers love Trump now? How else does that happen? What's more likely? Each and every one of these groups and individual has just performed a miraculous 180, a marvelous pirouette into red pill land, and they're just based now? Or might it be so crazy to suspect that they bought Trump off? And perhaps that's why we don't support his fat orange ass anymore. We aren't the ones who changed. I ask you, if you find yourself shoulder to shoulder with the very creatures of the establishment who but a decade ago, to the day almost exactly, at least the month, were spending fortunes in advertisements and influence to ensure that your political desires were buried among the rubble of the irrelevant right-wing fringe. It might be worth asking if maybe the reason that these people support him now is because he now supports their Never Trump agenda, which is, of course, diametrically opposed to our agenda. In fact, many might say that the very core of our movement has always been to see an end to that agenda and their agenda. And if that's no longer on the table, then neither is our support. It's really that simple. I mean, we people of principle, it's that simple for us. But, you know, if you're still out there huffing the copium, let me pose this to you. Because if Trump's failure to fulfill his promises, his increase in H-1B visas, his amnesty, I mean, what was that about? The amnesty for farm and hotel workers, if that's not enough to convince you, if the new war in Iran and the Middle East is not enough, if his just utter unwillingness now to release the Epstein files, that's just a Democrat hoax, no different from Russia, Russia, Russia. Okay. If all of that is unconvincing, then maybe something a bit simpler for you. The Never Trumpers are now who you're standing with. The Never Trumpers, who are now the ever faithful, that's who you've chosen to link arms with. And you have chosen, in this generational battle for our country, you've chosen the side of Ben Shapiro and the technocrats, who gleefully support and propel the fundamental national, racial, religious, the entire demographic transformation of America. His staunchest supporter, Ben Shapiro, literally said, I don't give a good goddamn, excuse my French, but that's what he said. I mean, you know, the tiny hat piece blaspheming the Lord, imagine my shock. He said, I don't give a good goddamn about the browning of America. And in case you thought, well, you know, now he's changed. He's come around. No, he hasn't, because here he is just the other week reiterating he does not care.
America. Now, I've made very clear, I do not care about the ethnic slash racial constituency of the United States. I don't care one iota. Why? Because I don't think that those are relevant human categories. I think that the categories that actually matter are belief systems, what we do, cultural categories. By the way, this is not a perspective that's unique to American conservatism. It used to be true for pretty much everybody in the United States that you judge people by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. But for the left, the idea is that the only reason you could possibly want to maintain the cultural character of the United States is because race and culture are inherently bound up together.
So he hasn't changed, but neither have we. That's the silver lining. And so we're going to stand for what we started in 2015, whether Trump's with us or not, because we haven't changed. The only people who have changed are Trump himself and then these rudderless hacks who continue to support him.
The frightening thing is that it's far more dark than what anyone would imagine.
We can't have a legitimate conversation if we don't include Epstein's victims. So we did.
I was taken to New Mexico, New York, Paris. People think that it was government officials having sex with underage girls, which is obviously terrible. But what was going on there, it seems, was a lot deeper and a lot darker.
I sat down with Juliet Bryant, an alleged Epstein survivor, and asked her those very important questions. You don't want to miss her answers.
And what you need to realize is that the world is being run by very, very evil people, and they're liars.
The entire country, and really the entire world, have watched as the United States government, led by Donald Trump and his Jew paymasters, have vanquished the Epstein story from the official narrative. They say that it never happened. They say there was no client list. They say there was no blackmail. They say that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. And again, everyone is talking about this. How can we have a legitimate conversation about Jeffrey Epstein if we're not including his victims in that conversation? That's a question that I've been asking myself and my team lately. And the answer to that is, we can't.
And I also want to know where the victims are, because a lot of them have been found dead. Like my friend Virginia Giffer was found dead. You know, and also Carolyn Adriano has been found dead. Ruslana, Lee Patrick, the list goes on. There are at least 7 Epstein victims who've been found dead.
That's a StuPeters.tv exclusive, which will air Friday, July 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Again, StuPeters.tv, July 25th, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Welcome to SPN Store. Gear up and speak for truth. Support uncensored journalism with exclusive SPN merch for the Stu Crew. Limited edition tees, wear your values loud and clear. Exclusive hoodies, stay comfortable while backing the truth. Shop now and stand proud at spnstore.com. Fast shipping, Patriot owned and limited runs. Don't miss out.
And welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. I'm John Miller in for Stu. Bibi Netanyahu going on with the Nelk Boys of the Full Send podcast. A podcast, by the way, that makes no sense for him. But it's the podcast bros who helped Trump win 54% of the male vote in the 2024 election. And so Netanyahu said, why don't I go on and help them get my numbers up? Why don't I help them win support for me too? Because let's be honest, he needs it. But Trump can at least shoot the Netanyahu is just a crusty old head of state. But he was there to spread his Jewish propaganda because support for Israel is down. Less than half of Americans now say they support Israel. It's even lower among young people. And so Netanyahu came to fix that. He came to where the young people are to feed them some of his own lies and get those numbers up with that good old Jewish propaganda. Which is ironic because that's what he claims we're being fed. Watch.
I think you definitely have a tough job, but why do you think you're like so hated worldwide?
Well, a lot of propaganda. The Chancellor of Germany said Israel did the work for all of us, the new Chancellor of Germany, okay? Because those Iranian missiles were geared at Europe too, and ultimately at America. That question you have to ask is not why do they hate me or President Trump, is why don't they see reality? Why don't they see what's good for them? And the answer is most of them do if you tell them the facts. But how do you tell them the facts over TikTok?
I don't think it's the Iran thing. The main thing I just see is if I don't think people like if civilians are getting injured or killed.
We don't want it either.
Oh, we don't want it either. Yeah, well then stop killing them. He acts like they're not choosing to do it. It's been nearly 2 years. Since October 7th, I think the window of time where you can say, that, oh, Israel has no choice but to respond, I think that window has passed. Gaza is rubble. You bombed every hospital with every granny and grandpa and newborn. They don't have a single working hospital in Gaza because of Netanyahu. They bombed the churches, they bombed the school, so this was hardly a proportionate response, to say the least. But he thinks he can go in and sell his little lies because that's how it's always worked for him. He's always been able to go on Fox and say his little catchphrases, and then it's going to be disseminated without question throughout the Israeli-controlled corporate media apparatus. Israel right has a right to defend ourselves. They're our closest ally. Oh, Israel has a right to exist. Oh, but we're just a small country surrounded by a sea of enemies. And in the past, the boomers heard that on Fox and repeated it like parrots. But today, people are like, well, okay, that's cute, but we saw on TikTok what you did, and we saw the dismembered kids strewn all over the streets. And that's why Bibi took that little dig at TikTok, because TikTok is where all of these horrific videos are seen. They say Jews control the media, but they couldn't control everything being shared on TikTok, so what did they do? They tried to ban TikTok. They said, oh, it's because of Chinese. They're collecting too much of your data. What a load of... It wasn't because of the Chinese. It was because the atrocities Israel was committing were being laid bare on TikTok. But it would be too obvious to say that. So they spun a little tale about how your data was being collected by the Chinese people. And that was apparently such a concern to the entire U.S. government that for like the first time ever, the entire U.S. government got something done and they came together, Democrats and Republicans alike, to ban TikTok. Really, it's the Chi-Coms, eh. They said no more TikTok, and instead we had to use the other Chinese app, Xiaohongshu. So how does that make sense? We're banning it because we don't want this Chinese app on your phones. Here, download this other Chinese app instead. It obviously wasn't about China. It was about clamping down on the truth about Israel being exposed on TikTok. If it weren't for social media, we would have never known about the deadly strike on Gaza's only Catholic church, the Holy Family Church. Because Fox isn't talking about that. They're too busy chit-chatting on the couch about how wonderful it is that Coca-Cola might be changing their recipe to comply with MAHA. They're too busy letting everyone know that Trump wants to change the name. He's killing the woke. He wants to change the name back to the Washington Redskins. They're too busy celebrating Riley Gaines' inaugural swim, for the opening of Alligator Alcatraz. But because of social media, it's becoming the bombing of the church, the atrocities in Gaza, those are all becoming impossible to ignore. And because of that, you now have OAN's Matt Gaetz and an Axios reporter named Mark Caputo talking about something I never thought I'd hear from Gaetz or OAN or Axios. Watch.
You used the term Jewish supremacy as a rising feature of the Netanyahu government in some of your commentary. What is that?
Well, elements of it. Again, the way Christians have been treated in Israel is of mounting concern in the White House and among Christian leaders and Christians in the United States, specifically in this case, Christian conservatives. But nevertheless, just because they're conservatives doesn't mean they're not Christian. And as a result, there is this sort of concern that not only does Israel prosecute the war against this Islamic terrorist group and Hamas, which they understand, but domestically there is a mounting problem with anti-Christian bias that some are detecting in Israel, and they want to make sure it stops.
And then, of course, Mike Huckabee, who is like Mr. Israel himself, he's like if Shabbos Goyim had a mascot. He's out there now, J-pilled warning Israel, there will be sanctions if this anti-Christian behavior doesn't stop. And he supposedly, we're told at least, had Trump's support on this, although after seeing Trump on his knees for Netanyahu all last month, that's doubtful it was genuine. But nevertheless, I guess it's progress. And I say J-pilled in quotes because it's like there's still a lot of work to be done. But you can't deny that they're out here criticizing Israel, which up until now, that was not even in the realm of acceptability. So none of this means they're super red-pilled and, you know, it's not like they're going to become Holocaust deniers next month. But Mike Huckabee's, his silence, you know, it would have been too deafening if he had remained silent on it. So it's a constant negotiation. But it is because of this TikTok that Netanyahu is so frustrated with that these people are now forced into the corner where they have no choice to discuss it. So I do. I think that's a dub. Because it makes Israel and their lies look even more ridiculous. You know, Netanyahu's out here saying, oh, well, they're going to come for America. You know, that's what all the pro-Israel shows were saying. Hey, we just want to prevent Iran from nuking America. Relax. They're not going to nuke America. You sound ridiculous. You know, another one of their favorite lines is, well, they hate Israel, but really it's America who's the big Satan. Israel is just the little Satan. They're not concerned about America. Their strategic priorities are largely regional, right? Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, not global domination or this constant obsession with the U.S. And even if they were in a hypothetical world as obsessed with the U.S. as the influencers say they are, they can't nuke us, okay? They can't. They don't have the capabilities. They don't have the warheads. Remember, Trump's own DNI head, Tulsi Gabbard, said they're not building nukes. But Trump bombed anyway because Netanyahu asked him to. But Netanyahu is used to selling his lines, and so he attempted to do so on the Full Send podcast because Israel and support for Israel is in trouble. And as far as support for the U.S. goes, he's in crisis mode. And, you know, he's on this PR tour. I'm lucky I wasn't tapped in a former life, in another life, because, you know, we know Netanyahu's already met with Tim Pool. And now he's going on Full Send. And you have to think, what is the prime minister of a foreign nation doing on an American press tour? That's not normal. That's highly unusual. But in another world, I would have been right there. You know, I personally, this is a funny story. I was told by Netanyahu's top guy, you know, when Bibi comes to the United States, you will get the next interview next. You know, for anyone who doesn't know, story time here. For anyone who doesn't know, I interviewed Netanyahu's son, Yair, in 2019. This is something that the A-logs love to throw at me as like a gotcha. You know, they show this picture like, is this you here with Yair Netanyahu? You're secretly Mossad. Like, yes, it wasn't a secret. This was literally on my show that was broadcast to a million people. And, you know, I've obviously evolved, but you have to understand, I was a White House correspondent at the time. I know I'm talking to an audience that might not be familiar with me, but I was a White House correspondent for The Blaze, and the Netanyahus were in Washington on an official state visit, you know, so we're not like friends. I don't have Mossad connections. My job was to interview dignitaries and government officials and whatever big names we could get. And the only connection I had was at the time, I was in sort of this loose circle of MAGA journalists in D.C., and the Netanyahu's tapped us as friendly media in D.C. You know, now I look back on it, I feel like Tim Pool, like, oh, I just thought he wanted to meet with us. But at the time, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm like a little bit sick. At the time, I was like, oh, cool, that's a huge name, because I was not woke on the Jewish stuff at all. Okay. And so they threw this PR event, and people like me and Will Chamberlain and Raheem Kassam were in attendance. And I was the only TV guy, right? Because the rest of them were print. So I managed to push my way to the front of desirable platforms for the Netanyahus to appear on. And when you're a White House correspondent, your number one goal is to try to get people to talk to you on the record. And it's never anything substantive. That's why the news report sounds so bland and generic, you know, because it's the fact that you have the access, it's the fact that you had the conversation that counts. But again, I didn't have Israel on my radar. I was more of a, at the time, this is 2019, I was more of a terrorist bad, Israel is our ally kind of guy. So we did the interview, and I asked I asked pretty softball questions, like, oh, well, I'm told you guys love Trump in Israel. And Yair was like, yes, we love him so much. He moved the embassy and recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you do in that job. It's like small talk, right? It's like rub shoulders, make small talk type. Would I have asked different questions today? Yeah, obviously. But I mean, not even because I was actually just starting to be red-pilled on Israel. And so I wanted to ask not even like, you know, hostile questions, but I did want to ask, you know, I wasn't going to go in there and ask, oh, why are you so evil? And do you agree that the Holocaust is I wasn't going to do that. But if I remember correctly, I wanted to ask like a Matt Walsh tier question about, you know, why should America Firsters support all this aid that we give you guys? But dude, Yair had this handler there. She was this big fat woman, and she had to be on set with us. I've never had that before. I've never had it where the handler is required to come on set with the guest. But that was the agreement. That was he wasn't going to come on unless she could come on with her. And she was to yank him off if anything got out of hand, or she was to jump in if he didn't answer properly or got out of a lead. Look, here she is. Here, let me pull up a picture. Here she is. So this is how the interview went. And they had to approve all the questions ahead of time. And there was to be no difficult questions whatsoever. So essentially, I was used as a propaganda tool for Israel, much like the Nelk guys were. You know, kind of uninformed and just ask like basic dumb guy questions, and then they use it as their opportunity to sit as teacher and give us their propaganda. And so the whole point of my story is afterward, I was at the White House. This was like a week later or something like that for a totally unrelated event. But for whatever reason, Netanyahu's handler is also at the event. And so I ran into Bibi's handler. And he's like, oh, just so you know, the prime minister saw your interview and just loved it. And next time he's in town, he's going to sit down with you. I don't think that offer is still on the table. But, you know, that's kind of how they operate. You know, it's like they just kind of are intrepid. They just go in. Because I remember thinking, you know, I was super excited because that's like a big opportunity. And I'm like an up and coming journalist, and I'm like, this is going to be the biggest interview, a head of state, a prime minister, that's a big deal. But I do also remember thinking, like, why me? Of all people, like, I don't know anything about Israel. I don't talk about Israel on my show. You know, at the time, I was an immigration guy, right? Like, that was my beat, the White House and Trump's immigration policy. Like, that was my wheelhouse. But that's exactly why they chose me, because I'm going to ask just, like, basic open-ended questions, just like the Nelk boys did. And it allows, again, Netanyahu to come in there like you know, and act, I'm just going to teach you what's actually happening on the ground. Like a teacher who's just there to inform your audience about stuff that they might not know about. Little did they know, John Miller. Little did they know that John Miller was actually curious, and I did want to learn more, and so I did, and boy, I did, you know? And so now we're here. So be careful what you wish for. But that's a, you know, that's a familiar territory is kind of how Netanyahu goes in and does that. So anyway, up next, literally this story about Obama being arrested in that video Trump said, who cares? Literally, who cares that now Trump wants to arrest Obama over Russiagate? Like, what year is this? That and more of the Trump administration distractions to cover up their failures when we return.
Don't let the IRS rob you. Where is your money going? Over 4 million government credit cards by federal employees were used to make 90 million transactions with no accountability. DOGE has found $4.7 trillion in federal spending that is untraceable or fraudulent. You work hard to pay your bills, and a significant portion of your money is funneled to thieves and fraudsters through the taxes you pay to the IRS. The IRS wants you to feel powerless. Be a slave that shuts up and give them your hard-earned money. But there is a way out of this slavery. Freedom Law School has been teaching Americans for over 30 years that no law requires 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. None of their students who have stopped paying have gone to prison or had their bank account or property stolen by the IRS. Go to freedomlawschool.org today to take 7 steps to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. For freedom, go to freedomlawschool.org today.
The witch hunt that you should be talking about is they caught President Obama absolutely cold, Tulsi Gabbard. What they did to this country in 2016, starting in 2016, but going up all the way going up to 2020 in the election, they tried to rig the election and they got caught. And there should be very severe consequences for that.
Yeah, very severe consequences for that. I'm sure he'll get right on that. Jennifer Lawrence meme, yeah. Okay, welcome back, everyone. John Miller in for Stu Peters. Does anyone give a crap about the Russia scandal? Hey, let me check the year. Oh, what do you know? It's I don't give a f- AD. This is clearly an attempt to distract from the fact that Trump hasn't done anything he said he's going to do. And so now they're hurling red meat out to the crowd saying, we're going to arrest Barack Hussein Obama. In 2025, who cares? It's embroidery on a threadbare tapestry. It is a glittering distraction from the tawdry truth that Mr. Trump has accomplished precisely none of the things he once trumpeted with his vulgar gusto, the gusto of the carnival barker we all know he is now. You clearly didn't care enough to do something back when it mattered. You remember Trump running on throwing Hillary Clinton in jail? Remember the rallies with the lock her up chants? And then the minute he got into office, he said this.
That plays great before the election. Nah, we don't care.
But now in 2025, now that his approval is down in the dumps, this is the promise he's exhuming. Sean Hannity wants to bring back Sarah Carter and Jim Jordan to relitigate Russia collusion? For me, this is nothing better than the we're changing the name of the baseball team back to the Washington Redskins. Kill the woke, kill the woke, kill the woke, Tom McDonald. This is no better than the I'm making Coca-Cola great again by changing the recipe. Which, by the way, the CEO of Coca-Cola like went out and tweeted and was like, no, we're not, okay? Promises made, promises kept. This is not what you promised, okay? How is this supposed to excite the base? Because Trump has already exposed that he is in on the Epstein stuff. Trump, who once thrilled us disillusioned by challenging the swamp, now bathes in its waters like a Roman senator in a tainted bath. The magic of taking on the intelligence community who tried to interfere to get Hillary elected, the magic of that was that he was to be the one who took down this group of powerful elite players who were so opposed to Trump and by extension. Remember that? Remember, you know, they're not after me. They're just after you and I'm in their way. They were so opposed to we, the American people, having an advocate that they mobilized the entire deep state against him to take him down. And Trump went in and said, I am your retribution. He was going to destroy them. It doesn't mean squat to us now that he's made it clear that he is part of that deep state. In fact, he is the head toad in that swamp. It has no appeal. It's just cheap theater. We saw Trump through Dan Bongino and Cash Patel and that bimbo Pam Bondi activate that very same corrupt intelligence apparatus to cover up the release of the Epstein files. What else do you need to know? I don't want to hear about how they're going to fight against the deep state by arresting Barack Obama, which is also, by the way, never going to happen. Anyway, up next, I go to some of your questions, and we'll answer some of those. Back soon.
What are you doing today to refocus, realign your investments so that it matches your ethics, your American Christian-based value views? At Cortez Wealth Management, we want to create a solution that we can avoid the CBDC, can help you with your retirement, get you a reasonable rate of return, not fund China or any other communistic countries, and number five, work with a God-fearing fiduciary that has your best interest and that we can honor God, country, and family.
And welcome back, John Miller in for Stu Peters. I put up an Ask Me Anything, on Instagram and said I'd take some questions from the audience. So first question is from Richard Ware on Instagram. He asks, matcha or chai? Wow, really opening with the hard hitters. I literally cut my last segment on like actual politics, Obama and the intelligence community short to answer this. But matcha, obviously. Chai is low-key gross. Yeah, the refined, civilized geisha house matcha pastime versus the dirty street slumdog poo-poo eater liquid slop. I think we're going to go with the matcha. Matcha for the win. S on the app asks, what is the reason for why Holocaust survivors lie about their testimony? Because they're Jews. And Jews lie. The only thing that comes more naturally to them is stealing. They lie to advance their agenda, and the Holocaust is the most effective tool at accomplishing that. Oh, you oppose greater Israel taking over the Middle East? Oy vey, but I survived the Holocaust. You sound just like a Nazi. You oppose bombing churches and don't like Jewish kids spitting on innocent nuns in the old city of Jerusalem? Well, you sound an awful lot like a Nazi. Don't you forget these poor people survived the Holocaust. You better watch what you say. I don't want to hear you saying that anymore. Just remember, never forget the Holocaust. You know, you don't like young women being raped in Europe by Muslims who have been displaced by Israel, by Israeli aggression in the Middle East? Well, certainly you wouldn't. You wouldn't say this to a dear little Holocaust survivor now, would you? Would you anti-Semite? You don't support usury and the devaluation of our currency. You don't want people coming into our country and clipping our coins, for crying out loud. Oy vey, with the Holocaust. We had to do it because of the Holocaust. You oppose Magnus Hirschfeld and his propagation of child genital mutilation. Hey, that's a Nazi talking point you're using there. We survived the Holocaust. Jews, you oppose them giving an entire generation of young men porn brain? You can't say that. You've got to watch your pornography, because otherwise, I'm afraid you're forgetting the Holocaust. You oppose Jews controlling our banking, our politics, our media. Hey, that's no way. That's an anti-Semitic myth. Don't you forget about the Holocaust. It is the cheapest get out of jail free card for them. And they know it. They know it. That's why they use it all the time. And unlike Christians, you know, they don't have any scruples when it comes to just making stuff up out of thin air and slithering their way through politics to accomplish their goals. I mean, most decent people couldn't even fathom coming up, conjuring up these gruesome atrocities. They took our skin and they made lamps out of it, and then they blended us up and turned us into sausage. Most people couldn't even fathom making that up. And yet they do it all the time in order to achieve petty political ends and a few extra shekels. So that's why they do it. RMJ Kath says, thoughts on Pine Sap Jubilee episode. You know, I didn't watch the full episode yet, but obviously I saw the clips on X. And, you know, I will say this. What I really value about Pine Sap is that he comes by all of his beliefs genuinely and earnestly. You know, so many people in this space are enamored by the controversy and the fact that their views are offensive and edgy. And many times they don't even believe what they're saying. They just want to troll and stir the pot. Pine Sap, on the other hand, doesn't view his opinions as controversial or edgy at all. And for me, that's refreshing. You know, he's a man of God. He's an actual man of God and conviction who is true to his faith. And that's the only thing that guides him. I mean, he just lost his job. And, you know, I know a lot of people are like, okay, bro, but what did you expect? What did you think would happen if you went on a show viewed by millions of people and declared yourself a fascist? And it's almost like it doesn't even occur to him that that would be a problem, because he's just like, yeah, that's me. You know, like he literally said it. Yeah, that's me. That is what I believe, and that's who I am. And the idea that he should hide because of it, like, autistically doesn't make sense to him. And so I really appreciate that. And I'm not saying everyone should go and just put everything on the line like that. But we need to appreciate the ones who do. Because Pine Sap is the type who, frankly, who, quite frankly, I don't think is interested in the game. You know, I don't think that that appeals to him. A lot of people, that for them, this is all a game. And I don't think that appeals to him. If I understand correctly, he had a pretty profound religious awakening. And when that happens, often this chess playing, you know, this play your cards right, this strategic communication that everyone obsesses over has its place, yes, definitely. But it can seem really trivial to people like Pine Sap, who are focused more so on their, if not solely, on their walk with God. And so for that, I think it was a dub. Besides that, he's a friend of mine. He's a really sincere, sweet, great guy. And so I'm thrilled for him. I'm thrilled he got the exposure. And I'm sure he's just getting started. Let's see, what else? Lennox the Llama says, is your fashion style a Balenciaga type or more of a Brooks Brothers type? Both. I'd probably say I'm post-prep with a street backbone. Hollywood prep with a modern rebellion, if I had to describe my style in a magazine. When I'm casual, like right now, for instance, I tend to lean more into streetwear. But if I'm in a suit, or I'm going out to a nice lunch or a function, I definitely prefer the classic end of the spectrum. I go much more Ralph Lauren, J Press, Brooks Brothers direction, rep tie, club tie. definitely that over like those ultra skinny, high sheen Italian runway numbers. You know, I appreciate, I like a good cloth, you know, a good cut and a good cloth, tweed, flannel, definitely like softer cuts, softer shoulders, some natural lines, you know, a little roll in the lapel. But, you know, also LA is an alarmingly casual city. So I often just wear like this, like a hoodie and a ball cap. The thing with black people wearing true prep is that it can look LARPy. You know, it can look nerdy and it can look real LARPy, like real, like we're the Black Republican Brigade at the convention. So, you know, I will always throw in something unexpected, like a white Chrome Hearts tee over some seersucker shorts. Just so everyone knows, I have no allegiance. You know, there's a lot more good questions here. Kevin Lee 4 asks, is it grippy? I don't know what that means, Mr. Kevin Lee. I don't know what that means. I can't read a lot of these. Oh, my God. This is like, you know, there's a few I'd love to get to. We just don't have time. Yeah, let's cut it there because this other question I'm just not going to be able to answer in time. It would take a longer answer. So, yeah. Let's do it there. That's going to be it for today. Remember, follow me at MillerStream on X on Twitter. Follow my Telegram, official John Miller. Stu is back. Oh, wait, that was in my notes to ask. Stu back when he back. I don't know when he's back, but he'll see you when he sees you. And I'll see you guys next time. Thanks for watching.
You know, it's actually pretty surprising how little discussion there is surrounding the potential negative side effects that things like Bluetooth and 5G and Wi-Fi can have on our bodies. These signals are everywhere. And they're not just harmless background noise, okay? They're EMFs, electromagnetic fields, and research confirms that they're damning to our bodies. They actually disrupt the way that our cells are designed to work. Did you know that research actually confirms that EMFs may open calcium channels in our cells? So imagine like a little door that lets calcium flood in, which puts your cells under constant stress. And this is where magnesium comes in. It helps to close those doors. It keeps the calcium in check, helps your nervous system stay calm. But the problem is most of us don't get enough magnesium, and when your body is constantly bombarded by EMFs, your magnesium rate skyrockets, meaning that you use it up faster than you can replace it. Then you go to the big box store and get a magnesium supplement, but most of them only use one or two basic forms that your body really can't absorb. That's why I use and suggest Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. It's the only mag supplement on the market with all seven critical essential forms of magnesium designed for real absorption. So your body actually gets what it needs to handle stress and sleep better and stay balanced in a world full of stimulation. Support the calm and the clarity and the resilience that you need in this wireless age. Go to bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters. Use promo code Stu Peters to save 10%. There's even a 365 guarantee, so there's no risk to try it. And if you subscribe, not only will you get amazing discounts and free gifts, you will also make sure that your monthly supply is guaranteed. The stuff is flying off the shelves. Again, that's bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters, bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters. I'm going to ask you for your undivided attention because I'm going to tell you about what could possibly be the most important life-saving supplement that I have ever talked about. It's called Cardio Miracle. Each serving of Cardio Miracle has a combination of over 50 high-quality ingredients, including a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, amino acids, and herbs, all of which come together to promote your body's ability to produce nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is so important for heart health. It helps to relax and dilate your blood vessels, which supports blood flow and circulation. And I love that you don't have to take this giant pill to get all of this nutrition. No, Cardio Miracle comes in a powder formula, so it's really easy to mix all day throughout the day into juice or water and take it at any time. That also helps to support mood regulation because it's a neurotransmitter. It's a neuromodulator in the brain.
So it can support the release of serotonin and dopamine, both of which are really important and involved in mood regulation. Cardio Miracle also supports mental clarity, sleep quality, energy levels. It can even help with recovery after exercise. Nitric oxide is essential for so many functions in the body, and Cardio Miracle supports the production of nitric oxide, so you get many benefits from just one supplement. Please go to highpowerheart.com. Again, highpowerheart.com. I'm telling you, this could quite possibly be the most important supplement that I will ever talk about, Cardio Miracle. Go to highpowerheart.com.